here.
Let me see. Lawler, the WCNI still here. Here. Well, I think the VC were consolidating. Mm-hmm. That was the main reason for them to have the ceasefire. And many of the provincials at the provincial level, mm-hmm, knew that the war was coming to the end. Even though it took that much longer, have it completely came in, especially the people in Bin Bin in the main province. Knew that it was inevitable that the VC were going to take over the country, mm-hmm, and that the people were now behind them much, mm-hmm, more than they were behind the government GBM. Yeah, again, there were so many in Bin Bin, mm-hmm, that were BC that it really, you did have to take all of Bin Bin almost and put them into a prison camp, mm-hmm, which really wasn't.
So that's why there was such a big roundup.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's the reason why they just, the Arvin, I mean, with the roll-up, also the Arvin, you know, did this unbelievable, supposedly offensive that they did in doing so. That, you know, they just rolled up anybody they could. Plus, I mean, it was really, what people don't realize is the people from the cities considered the peasants to be not unlike what the people at My Lai thought about them. I mean, they were almost expendable. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they weren't bad. They were good to each other. For the most part, Vietnamese protected each other, mm-hmm, whether it be a colonel and a small peasant village or something like that. They tried to protect their people against what they perceived as us being completely imbued with trying to get body count and getting people interrogated and everything. Mm-hmm. That was our... That's how we proved ourselves, and so the Vietnamese didn't like that. Mm-hmm. They were totally against that type of thing. When the people disappeared, whether they disappeared into the mountains or went somewhere else, I don't know that. Mm-hmm. So therefore, you know, there could be something, and you'd have to look into that after, you know. And you can do that. You can call the Vietnamese embassy right now in Washington and ask them. Say, during the period of 1972, how many people perished in Bin Bin province? Mm-hmm. And by now, they would probably have a fairly good statistical count of that would be. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, people would know. Because it's a lot like Russia after the wall fell. Mm-hmm. Many of our perceptions and what we saw or we thought we had seen, mm-hmm, were quite different what the reality was, because we were looking at it from one perspective, mm-hmm, and did not really look at it from another one. And like I said, I think I just brought up something which, you know, most Americans don't realize how close the Vietnamese are to each other, mm-hmm, as a race of people. They were in a civil war, a great civil war, but it was a lot like Americans when they were in a civil war. Mm-hmm. There were still brothers who loved blood brothers and took care of them and everything like that. So. Yeah, we'd go up and round up people. And like I say, it's not that easy, and we would run into a house and find out it wasn't that house, but the house next door. Mm-hmm. You know, that it's a very, and then a guy would run away, and everybody would be running after him, and as I say, most people didn't want to kill him, so they'd try to chase him down, and they'd grab him, find out he really was there, he was really just a neighbor messing around with the wife of a guy who was gone or something like that, you know. That happened too. So, I mean, it was not all a beautiful... So, silhouette of one thing. I mean, when you say operate after the ceasefire, they'd operate after the ceasefire, whatever happened. All right. Well, yes, that's right. In a sense of no, I don't think, but at this point, you have to understand that Prue was, as far as agency involvement, was denuded. Yeah, was it denuded? Because it was taken away. We didn't have, they finally kind of transferred to special pleas. The special pleas, that's another thing I didn't bring up. Mm-hmm. There was a police advisor, an old guy, mm-hmm. I think Chicago or something. And he was the police advisor.
This is a public safety
aid guy. Yeah, he's a public safety aid guy. And he really didn't want, I mean, again, it depended on personality. He really didn't want the Prue with him. Mm-hmm. He felt it was too much trouble. And he was getting paid the same amount if he just took care of the special police or if he just took care of this. Why add something else? Mm-hmm. And here was I, a young major, and I was ready to have the Prue. So he just gave it to me. I mean, you know, they don't care. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like there was some type of conspiracy or anything. It was just, again, this guy didn't want his crew. And that's true, too. At this point, I would venture to say that American involvement was almost, well, in our case, it wasn't almost zero because we got the crew. So we were able to use the crew to whatever we wanted to because we consolidated the crew where they just let the special police operations do it. And that's a different. Yeah, sounds reasonable. That's true too. Take care of the Prue because the Prue did an overall pretty good job and were fairly loyal. I don't know who Wilbur is.
He was a Navy SEAL who was a Prue advisor in the Delta.
Oh, okay.
In the earlier period, he's mm-hmm. in there in 68. He worked with Jim Ward and Doug Dillard.
Okay, and who's this Bill Riddell?
Bill Riddell was the
wasn't well thought of by Wilbur.
he was the guy who was like the CIA guy who was on the national level, kind of.
Yeah, you know, a lot of the CIA guys that were in Vietnam, for the most part, I felt that they were, like I say, it was a little like the U.S. military. When you send a guy down to a province level, and he's with the Central Intelligence Agency, you're not going to get the best and the brightest. Mm. I mean, the best and the brightest are in that embassy in London, or in Paris, or in Madrid, or Frankfurt, or somewhere like that. Bonn. But, these guys were mostly, a lot of them were kind of like either staff guys that were past their time or had been passed up or, in many instances, retired guys who were on contract, mm-hmm. who were contract workers.
Yeah.
Well, if he was a SEAL, that's for sure that he made a higher caliber person. Most of the SEALs are pretty rough guys. They were scrupulous. For the most part, I didn't find the CIA people to be that scrupulous. I found them to be just the opposite. I found them to be, of all of the individuals over there, they were probably the most shoddy. I mean, they always had girls in their damn compounds. They were, you know, always having parties. Mm. They to me, they didn't show me that that's it. See, they, to make sure we aren't, they all were allowed to retire. They were all riffed. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And Wilbur is probably very factual in the fact that, but that occurs all the time. And, you know, one of the reasons why, and we always forget this, one of the reasons why they eliminate people is because at one point in time, people become not an asset, but a liability.
Yeah.
And if you were...
Like Saddam Hussein.
Well, exactly. And not only that, but I mean, if you were... Let's say you were in the Phoenix and you were a general officer and someone walked in from the newspaper and said, well, what was your job in Vietnam? And you said, well, elimination of the infrastructure. Well, how many people did you get? And then the next day in the newspaper, so-and-so, while duty, just like Kerry, while duty in Vietnam eliminated or neutralized, as one would say, you know, that many thousands of people. Well, that doesn't go over real well. So therefore, what you do is you channel that person into a, let's say, not important assignment.
Bureaucratic company.
Exactly, and get his ass away from the rest of the world to some degree. It occurs in any major nation in the world. Russians did the same thing with their special ops guys. Mm-hmm. Even after Afghanistan. They didn't want to have a bunch of these guys around that were, quote, talked to and say all of these things. So I think, Brian, when you go out and talk to a lot of these people, you got to recognize that these are just old-timers who did whatever they did for various reasons, mainly because of, at the moment, that's what they were supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And then, in many instances, again, because of personality of various thinking patterns, they were not part of the in crowd in one way or the other. Mm-hmm. And the in crowd is retired, just like the guys who left early, if you want to say. So, I mean, that, you know, I think a good example of that is General Powell. Mm-hmm. If you look at his uniform, you'll see not too many decorations and ribbons that he had. He was mostly, I think at one point in time, even a commissary officer. Mm-hmm. He only came up when, quote, we needed to have a black general who was able to do these things.
And was politically loyal.
It was politically loyal, because to be very frank, I had one general over there who was a black general who, I mean, he didn't come, very, very, very intelligent. I think he went to Morehouse or something, but man, he was truly pro-black, to take care of his own people, and they killed his ass, because he was that type of person.
See, like Black Panther, Black National?
Well, not quite that, but you know, his beliefs was, I'm as good or better than you at any moment in time, and the Stephen didn't like that. Mm-hmm. He didn't like a guy who was outspoken, said, I don't want to put my people in harm's way, all these young black kids, and they outnumber the whites by 2-1 when they get their ass blown away or something. They didn't want to hear any of that crap. So therefore, you know, he kind of, they set him to the side. At the same time, because of affirmative action, he made it a lot higher than a lot of his contemporaries who were a hell of a lot smarter than he was. So, you know, it's always a two-way switch on these things. I respect it. I mean, I had most of the generals and most of the commanders and most of even the people like Colby and the guy who was up in Swango, several of these people. They were men who, you know, just did their duties. Some of them were lechers, some of them were drunks. Some of them were, not a heck of a lot of them were, you know, Bible-thumping Christians. And that's just not part of that type of organization. But, you know, there's just a mixture of all type of characters. And each one unique in himself. So, You know, what amazes me is the fact that for some other reason we have chosen the path of those who least have the charisma and respect of the group usually seem to go to the highest levels. And that to me just amazes me.
I mean, and what do you think that is?
Oh, I think that's threat. Mm-hmm. I think that's true anywhere in life. You know, everybody always says, I really like a guy who's really good looking, who's a five-letter man, mm-hmm. who's got an IQ of 116 or more. They really don't like him. Mm-hmm. He is not what they want. They don't, because he's not part of them. Mm-hmm. He kind of stands aloof from them. We're a very, especially in the United States, not unlike the Soviet Union, we're very egalitarian. That's the reason, like I say, I think that's the reason Edwards mm-hmm. didn't do well. He was a little out of the norm by far. And when you're out of the norm, they don't like you. Mm-hmm. Now, unusually enough, Obama is out of the norm in everything except for one thing, racially. Mm-hmm. So, but they can then compensate for that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they can say, hey, here's a guy who is, you know, still able to kind of be like us. We can say, I mean, especially for a white Southern boy, you know, he might be the most smartest guy in the world, everything like that, but guess what he is, you know, stuff mm-hmm. like that. So I think that's true. Hillary, the reason she's losing so badly, because she's not a normal white Caucasian woman. Mm-hmm. She's overambitious. She's very strong personality, everything. Mm. Everybody thinks women love that. I don't think the women love that too much. They don't think that that's the neatest thing in the world, that your ambition is the most important thing. You know, I think they look back on Hillary as being very much an opportunist. Mm. McCain, I think as people get to know him more and more, they're going to find out more and more that he's an elitist. Mm. Not unlike Edwards. And be truthful under everything, probably Obama too, but, mm. you know, at least it's trying to associate somehow. And I think what you find, the civilian rule, especially at the political class, I call them the political class, they do not want a bunch of military officers or even, because they don't know that many who are in the intelligence agency. But what they do know, they want to keep them kind of at lower levels. They don't want them to be messing around with the system too mm-hmm. much. Because, as I say, historically, that could be a threat. Mm-hmm. And in reality, if things keep going, it will be a threat. Mm-hmm. So, you got anything else?
I don't think so.
Okay, great.
There's nothing else you want to
add? No, I don't.